that way this
Luke chapter 10, verse 38 is where we're at. This is the story of, or the episode with Mary and Martha. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Luke 10:38. I was telling the Sunday school class this week, going to pastor's school, if I wish I could just take it all together and put it in a little pill and just give you guys the pill. I mean, it's so good, so helpful. But if you're interested in hearing what some of the things that went on up there, there's all the sessions are online at hopetoledo.org. That's Hope Baptist Church website. But they put all the sessions online, and then of course there's instruction, and then there's just a lot of good fellowship and preaching and learning from guys who've been in the ministry for years and all that. So Luke chapter 10 verse 38. I'm going to read the whole thing through verse 42. And I think this is so applicable to our lives today. I mean, we are busy people, but not necessarily productive people. We are got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of cares, a lot of burdens, and sometimes we miss the most important thing in the rush of everything going on. And that most important thing is hearing from the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship with Jesus Christ. And you may say, well, how does that help? Well, hopefully going through this, it will help. But I think we're raising a generation of children who don't know why fellowship with Jesus Christ is even important or even applicable to their own lives. Because we have adults who don't know why fellowship with Jesus Christ is important to their own life. The Lord said through Paul one time, he said, godliness is profitable in all things, not only in this life, but in the next. And so we are, or I think, Christians in a large part, in spite of that verse, have no idea why godliness has any application to their job, to their family, to any of that, until there's trouble. Then it's like, you know, let's start praying. But hopefully in these verses, I want to show you fellowship with Jesus Christ is the one thing that Jesus Christ said, this is needful. You got a lot going on, but this thing is needful. And if you don't get this done, whatever else you're getting done doesn't make any difference really in the long run anyway. Let's read these verses. Luke 10, verse 38. He says, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Notice the many things. He says, but one thing is needful. So you've got a lot going on, many things, but you're missing the one thing that's actually needful in this scenario. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let's pray, and I want to talk to you about this one needful thing. I mean, there are several titles I've thought about for this thing. Being busy isn't necessarily successful. People are busy all the time. It doesn't necessarily, like I said, mean you're productive. But let's pray and just go through these verses and see this one needful thing that we all need. Father, I thank you, Lord, thank you so much for your words to us. I thank you that we can open up your words, we can trust what you've said. We don't have to filter it out or figure out whether this thing is true or whether this thing is right for hopefully a lot of folks in here. Your words have proven true over and over and over. And Lord, I pray they'd prove true again today and we would apply them to our lives. Lord, we'd learn what we need to learn. Father, I pray if there's anybody here that's not saved, meaning they've never trusted Jesus Christ to be their Savior, their sin is still on them. And if they were to die, if they left this place and were to die, their sin would be on them and they would be guilty before you and they would be put in a prison called hell. And Lord, I pray that they'd understand that. Understand that sin has no place in heaven and that sin had better be taken care of before they die. And it's already been taken care of in Jesus Christ if they'll trust him. Lord, I pray they wouldn't leave here without getting saved, or at least getting the information from your words about how to be saved. Very easy thing. Trust Jesus Christ to be your Savior. And I pray today would be the day of salvation for some folks. And Father, for those that are saved, you would just have liberty to take your words and apply them where they need to be applied. These verses are so applicable to our lives today. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the scenario is this. You've got Mary and Martha. Jesus Christ comes to town. Martha invites them over to the house. And Martha is doing what any of us would probably do when you have guests over, especially of this magnitude. You have Jesus Christ over at the house, and she is trying to get all the food ready, get all the things cleaned up and get the house prepared and just going here and there and trying to make her guests comfortable. And you got Mary, on the other hand, who, when Jesus Christ comes to the house, she just goes and sits at his feet and listens to him talk. So in the background, you've got Martha just dishes and pots and pans and all that stuff going on, and Mary sitting down. And you can probably sympathize, some of you can probably sympathize with Martha. I can. You've got someone just sitting down, and there seems like a lot of work that needs to be done. It's not getting done, and you got somebody just sitting down, and you're kind of like, okay, well, you're gonna help the rest of us, or are you just gonna sit there and watch us all work? And then she goes to Jesus Christ. Martha goes to Jesus and makes her complaint, and then she gets scolded by Jesus, and she says, you know, he says, you're busy with all this stuff. And Mary here has chosen to hear my words. She has chosen the good part and the part that's not going to be taken away. The meal, the hospitality, that's all well and good. But without fellowship with Jesus Christ, it doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't have any lasting value to it. And so I want to show you a few principles out of these verses. And I think there are incredibly applicable to our lives today. Like I said, most of us could probably identify with Martha. A busy life, spinning wheels, but maybe busy but not productive as far as God's concerned. Just go, 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 while the one needful thing sits on the shelf and we just never get around to the one needful thing. We're busy. We got a lot going on. I mean, some people wear it as a badge, you know. They want you to know they're busy, and so they want you to think there's something going on in their life, so they appear to be busy, so they appear to be productive. But busyness doesn't necessarily mean productivity. And in this case, the busiest person in the room is the least productive person in the room. The busiest person in the room is the one not getting done the thing that needs to get done. And so, like I said, I think this is very applicable to us. I think Martha's understanding of things is very similar to a Christian's understanding of things, particularly today. But the trouble is when we don't see the value of God's words, of listening to Jesus Christ, of personal fellowship with Jesus Christ, what that translates into, I mean, I watch our kids and I pray this for our children and our children in church, that they would learn to have a relationship with Jesus Christ that's personal. And if you don't ever get that, it really doesn't make any difference what you do and pursue with your life. I mean, it really doesn't make any difference if you never get that one foundational thing right. The whatever you choose to do will just be Martha banging pots and pans, busy work, doing stuff, maybe making a meal, all that. But the one needful thing will never be addressed. All right, so here's a few principles. We'll start in verse 38. It says, "Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." So this is Martha's house. She's responsible for the guests. This is her responsibility. And the first principle I want you to understand is this: your responsibilities will keep you from Jesus Christ. Now, I did say responsibilities, because any time it's one thing to say I don't have time because we're going to go to the game or whatever. But it's another thing to say, well, I don't have time with Jesus Christ because I've got so much work that has to get done because I've got to provide for my family. That's almost like the trump card. It's like, you know, I you don't understand. I've got all these responsibilities on me that have to get done. You understand, God knows that. That isn't a surprise. And I would say sometimes the things that have become responsibilities in our lives are things we've chosen to make responsibilities. Where we're trying to live at a certain lifestyle, we're trying to have a certain care for our family, all those things. But the word is this: your responsibilities will keep you from Jesus Christ. And I use that word on purpose because Martha's responsibility is her guest in her house. And it's that thing, that responsibility that she feels has burdened her and has kept her away from Jesus Christ, because she's got to get to this. She's got to make sure that it's hospitable, make sure the guest is taken care of. The point is the responsibilities, not the playtime, not the entertainment, but your responsibilities will make such demands on your life, they will get in the way of the one needful thing. I'm not saying neglect your responsibilities. What I'm saying is you need to reprioritize fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because if you don't get that thing done, whatever's a responsibility, it really, we'll get to it in a minute, but your life will be like Martha's life, the pots and the pans and the banging and the food and the get all this stuff ready, and you've missed the point and the purpose. The first thing is this: your responsibilities will keep you from Jesus Christ. I remember an illustration here, right? In the Old Testament, you guys remember the book of Ruth? You remember Naomi, Elimelech? In chapter 1 of Ruth, Elimelech moves his family out of God's promised land to Moab. And he does that on the premise that I've got to take care of my family. That's good. Yes, you've got to take care of your family. But if you're not careful, you'll come up with a solution to address a responsibility that is outside of God's will. What I'm saying is the devil won't necessarily use bad things to tempt you. He'll use good things, good intentions. I want to take care of my family. I got a guest here that needs taken care of. I want to be hospitable. That's all good things. But if you miss the one needful thing, you've missed the one needful thing. All right, so the first point, responsibilities will keep you from Jesus Christ. I'm not saying don't do your responsibilities. As we're going to see, you need to reprioritize. Second thing, verse 39. Number two is this. Success is not where you think it is. Look in verse 39. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. In the course of this episode here, Martha's going to be not reprimanded, but corrected. And Mary is going to be blessed, going to be encouraged. She's going to be, the Lord is going to uphold her. The point is this, success isn't where you think it is. I think that this about, we're at the pastor's school is what it is, but I listen to the guys and talk about how busy they are, and you get caught in a routine of stuff. And you get caught in a routine of stuff where you're getting stuff done. I mean, you're getting paperwork done, you're getting, it's not like stuff isn't getting done, stuff's getting done. But it's not really productive stuff. It's the point is success isn't where you thought it was. I thought success was making the stack of paperwork get from here to here. That was success. If I get this down to here, done. I mean, I'm making progress here. When Jesus Christ points to success, he says, all right, Martha, you've got a lot going on, but what Mary's doing, she's actually getting something done that needs to get done, and that's hearing from me. I remember the psalmist, we've read the psalm several times, but David said one time, he said, if thou hast not spoken, Jesus Christ, God Almighty, if thou hast not spoken, I become like them that go down to the pit. So if I don't want to end up like them that go down to the pit, I need to hear from God. And if I don't hear from God, whatever I'm doing is just spinning around, down. Success is not where you think it is. Success is found at Jesus' feet, listening to his word. Success is not a matter of more movement, but a matter of priorities. It's not more things moving, getting more things going, getting more plates spinning, getting more wheels turning. It's found at Jesus Christ's feet, hearing from Jesus Christ. You know, in ministry or in work, you got to be careful of doing much if you haven't sat at Jesus Christ's feet. You got to be careful of getting busy without ever getting sat down at Jesus Christ's feet and hearing from him. Learn to sit, be fed, grow, but be careful of service, of work, of anything apart from fellowship with Jesus Christ. What I'm hoping to convey to you this morning is to encourage you. Maybe your relationship with Jesus Christ has kind of grown apart. You find yourself just going and going and going and going and going and going, and you really haven't reset. I'm hoping this morning we can just reset. Get back to the important things. Get back to the things that matter. You can do a lot of stuff in church in the flesh. Just go through the motions, go through the routine, go through the motions without the Spirit of God being involved in any of it. The point is, let's get back to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Get back to being reconciled to God, an opportunity to come before the throne and have an opportunity to hear from God. That is where success is. It's not where you think it is. It's not in the things we set as goals necessarily. Now here's what happens if you don't ever get back to fellowship with Jesus Christ. Watch what Martha says. Look in verse 40. Here's the bitterness of busy. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bitter therefore that she helped me." There are several consequences to being busy without having fellowship with Jesus Christ, without hearing from the Lord. And I know Mike says almost every time he comes up here and does announcements, I hope you've come to hear something from God. Because if you're not hearing from God, you're not getting what you need. You need to hear from God. You don't need to go to church. You don't need to sit in a pew. The purpose of what we're doing here in Sunday school, in church, tonight, Wednesday night, when we get together, the purpose is so that people will hear from God. Because if you hear from God, you will get what you need from God. So what happens if you don't hear from God? Well, ignorance. You'll miss things from the Lord that you need to hear. What happens if Martha fails to spend time with Jesus Christ? She won't hear what she needs to hear. I imagine Jesus Christ has said several things to Mary while Martha's in the background, in the kitchen, whatever she's doing. Martha's in the background. Mary has already heard several things from Jesus Christ that Martha could benefit from. But Martha's not there. She's not there to hear. Ignorance. I'll give you a little thought here. I don't know how many times folks have said they've said something about marriage. They've said something about relationships. They've said something about just having trouble in some area of their life. And literally my thought has been, literally, we just went over that in Sunday school and Sunday evening. We just went over that. And I wish you had been here so you could have gotten all the notes. But you didn't hear. Therefore, some things that you could have heard, you didn't hear. Therefore, there are some things that you're missing from your life. Now watch what she says. She's cumbered about much serving. That's a peculiar phrase. She's weary with the work there. She gets mad at God. She came to him and said, "Lord, dost thou not care?" Now this happens in if you're involved in ministry, I'm going to point to that particularly here. But you get to looking around and you start wondering where all the help is. And then you start pointing your finger at God and saying, "Don't you care?" That's Martha. "Don't you care? Do you not care that there's all this stuff that needs to happen and it's not happening? Don't you care about what's going on?" You get bitter at God, and then there's trouble. Your closeness to the Lord, you get distant. It's easy to see God in the wrong light. You get resentful. Martha says, "Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me alone? I'm the only one who does anything around here." And if you ever have that thought, first of all, you're wrong. Second of all, your motive is wrong for serving God. If you ever look around and say, "Am I the only one that is doing anything around here?" Number one, it's not true. Number two, you've got the wrong motive for doing whatever you're doing. You want to serve God? Serve God. Whether anyone else will or not, serve God. You get bitter. Remember, all this is a result of someone not fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. The bitterness of busy, resentment, indictment, bitter therefore that she helped me. Make her come over here and do something. Make her get back in here. Make her help me cook this thing. Send her away so she'll help me vacuum or whatever. Indictment and burnout. It will lead to burnout. You're trying to accomplish things for the Lord in your own power. Eventually, you do that enough and the wheels just come off the thing. You just burn out. The bitterness of busy. I guess that happens in work. I mean, I was using ministry as an example, but work. You do anything in your own power for a while. You leave Jesus Christ out of it, and whatever you're doing, you leave Jesus Christ out of it, and that thing just becomes bitterness. I've watched guys, seen them working, guys who have climbed the corporate ladder. They've, doing what guys in college want to do one day, want to be an executive. Now, here he is. Mad at the world, bitter. Got all the money he needs. No satisfaction. No joy. Just problems. All he can talk about are the problems. You know what that is? That's a life without Jesus Christ. No matter where it is. Just a life without Jesus Christ. The bitterness of busy. The burden of busy. Go to verse 41. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." You know, there are a few times in the Bible where Jesus Christ says someone's name twice. He says, "Jerusalem, Jerusalem." He says, "Simon, Simon." "Saul, Saul." Now he says, "Martha, Martha." You know, and every time he says that, it's almost a pitying of the person. Like, what have you got yourself into? Martha, Martha, what have you got yourself into? He said, "You're careful and troubled about many things." You take that phrase right there. Is that a description of your life? Thou art careful and troubled about many things. There's so much going on, and I'm worried about this, I'm worried about that, I'm worried about this, and maybe a lot of them are legitimate worries. But the point is, it's taking you away from what you've needed now. You don't have the substance you need. You don't have the fellowship you need from Jesus Christ. And so all of these things have been magnified. They become more bitter. They become heavier weights. The burden of busy. It's not because you have too many responsibilities. It's because you're not doing the one needful thing. It's not that you have too much going on even. It's that the one thing that needs to be going on isn't going on. Sit at Jesus' feet. Hear from him first. The burden of busy. Jesus answered and said unto her, "Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things." You know... Everything is trouble when Jesus Christ is not involved in it. Everything becomes trouble. And it may not be the wrong thing that you're doing. but it's just in the wrong order. Notice he says, you're careful and troubled about many things. Verse 42, but one thing is needful. Fellowship with Jesus Christ is not wasted time. One thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Pointing to this, fellowship with Jesus Christ isn't wasted time. Time spent with Jesus Christ is not keeping you from doing the things you need to do. I would say most of us probably don't spend the amount of time with Jesus Christ we need to anyway. We don't hear from God on a regular basis. We don't know maybe Sunday to Sunday but you ought to be hearing from God on a regular basis. I'd be getting something from him, at least trying to get something from him, spend some time with him. Fellowship with Jesus Christ isn't wasted time. That's what Jesus Christ says to Martha. Mary's chosen the good part. If fellowship with Jesus Christ is an inconvenience, then you're looking at it from the wrong angle. You got Martha's view and not Mary's view. Martha, I think, is trying to fit her to-do list, her activity, and cram fellowship with Jesus Christ in there somewhere. But of course, if it's going to be a leftover, it's not going to be crammed in there. It's got to be a priority. Martha's trying to fit this thing in. She can't fit it in. It's frustrating. It's tiring. She's busy. She's got all this stuff going on. Nobody's helping her. Why? All of these problems exist because she's not doing the one needful thing. The Bible says this, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In Jesus Christ is life. If Jesus Christ is life, and apart from him you can do nothing, then all the pots and pans clanging in the background is just us doing nothing. It's a lot of movement. It's a lot of activity. It's no production. It's no fruit. It's no joy. And it's not getting done the things that need to get done. Fellowship with Jesus Christ is not wasted time. And then the good choice Mary has made. It says Mary hath chosen the good part. You know, I imagine from Martha's mind, she thinks she doesn't have time to do what Mary's doing. And some of you might say the same thing. I don't have time to do what Mary's doing. Martha and Mary have the same time in the day. Everyone in here has 24 hours in a day. Everyone in here has time to do the one needful thing. God didn't give you 10 hours so that you couldn't do the one needful thing. You have time to do the one needful thing. You have time to hear from God. And you need to hear from God. And if you don't hear from God, your life becomes like Martha's, just activity, noise, stuff, bitterness, anger. Why me? Why not everyone else? You know, you'll find this. I'll wrap it up with this thing. The thing that you need will never demand your time, but everything else will. The thing that you need on a day-to-day basis will not demand your time, but everything else will. Sometimes I think it's easier to be busy because you feel like you can measure results. You fellowship with Jesus Christ, how do I measure the results of that? How do I know what's happened? How do I put a measuring stick to that? But you get busy, at least I can see the paperwork go down from here to here. At least I can make the checklist and say I've done all this. So sometimes it's easier to do busyness than it is to have fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because how do you measure fellowship with Jesus Christ? It's not a tangible. How do you know when you've accomplished? How do you know what's gone on? When you can hear from God, you can listen. It becomes tangible in Martha's life when it's not happening. You know, it's amazing. I guess, folks, we understand what we need when the problems start happening. And all of a sudden, we can measure what we need now. Man, my life has just gone off the rails. My marriage is falling apart. My family's falling apart. Now I need to hear from God. Preacher, what do you say about this? Well, if you'd stay in it, hear from God on a regular basis, we wouldn't be dealing with this now. These things would have been addressed along the way, figured out along the way, and what started here could have been addressed here instead of starting here, never addressed, and now we've got this to deal with. How do you measure it? I mean, you can measure it at the wrong end. When the catastrophe happens, and then, okay, well, now I know I need something right. Good choices. Jesus Christ says, but one thing is needful. One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The good choices Mary makes here. Fellowship with Jesus Christ. Hearing from Jesus Christ. If you don't get anything else out of this, hear this thing. This is the one needful thing. You and I need to hear from God on a regular basis. The most important thing in our lives, in your life, in my life. I mean, preachers have said this for years, but the most important thing in your life and my life is your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if that thing is right, it will cover a multitude of problems outside of that. It may not fix everything. Like I said before, I mean, peace with God is not necessarily peace with your family. It's a different thing. But when the one needful thing isn't being done, you can be sure the wheels will come off at all points in your life. The one needful thing. You need to hear from God. I need to hear from God. You don't need to just come to church. You need to hear from God. You don't need to just sit in a pew. You need to hear from God. You don't need to just have your Bible on a bookshelf somewhere and maybe open it up, maybe on Sunday when we come to church. You need to hear from God on a regular basis. I need to hear from God on a regular basis. Somebody asked me a while back, they said, what's the hardest thing, or what's the hardest thing about being a pastor, like as though it's different for a pastor and a Christian. You know the hardest thing is? Maintaining a good relationship with Jesus Christ every single day. Hearing from Jesus Christ every single day. Getting what I need from Jesus Christ every single day. And I know it's probably the hardest thing in y'all's life. You know what's going to get in the way? Responsibilities. Yeah, but I got to do this. I got to do this. I got to do this. No. One thing is needful. What you got to do is get with Jesus Christ. That's what you got to do. One thing is needful.